The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Let's go. Sounds good. Real good. Yup.
What's happening? We was in the race, we lapped them. Yeah. Let our feelings go, we didn't trap them. Yeah. I was gone at first, but now I'm back again. Yeah. You like action? We had a lot of baggage, we packed them.
It's Sunday night and we're early. It's Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. WildTalkRadio.com, twitch.tv/WTLChat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to twitch.prime gamers.twitch prime, or just Prime, click the purple button below the screen to support the channel for free. You can use carry code RocketSock to 49 and shop Chris hashtag Epic Partner. SummerSlam is officially in the books. Two nights have come and gone. Big surprises, title changes, and the official death of Dean Ambrose. The way it felt like. Anyway, we're here to talk about it. It's SummerSlam. I am the producer, joined as always by the intern.
Yeah, we had that burial happen, at least. We also had a hell of a lot of surprises with night two.
That we did. We also have one, Keishi Matsunaga.
Much less surprising than some of the surprises that happened tonight, but yeah, here.
He's, and the biggest surprise, Tim is not. he did not make. I know. Tim is not here tonight, but we're here to talk about two nights of SummerSlam. And I asked this question to Keishi to start. What was your favorite thing from night one?
Trying to remember night one. It's been a minute.
Been a whole day.
Yeah. lots happens in my life. I liked kind of a few things. I don't know if I could say I have a favorite. I think Hell in a Cell was done really well.
Okay.
I don't know if I have like a moment that stands out as like my favorite one of the night. There are a lot of like good things that happened night one, but I can't say that there was any one thing that sort of stood out over top of other things, like lots of cool stuff. I don't know if I can pick one.
Okay, then let's start here because you mentioned Hell in a Cell. What was your reaction to Oba Femi finally putting down the Beast one last time and Brock basically passing the torch?
I thought that was, it was a very nice touch. So I don't know what that means for Brock. It seemed, at least from Ober's perspective, genuine and a little bit maybe even surprising on his part.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, all the stuff that happened at Mania, it's kind of hard to believe it, if you know what I mean.
It's sort of like, he's basically said Mania, he retired. Everything else we're getting after the quote-unquote retirement is just extra at this point, it seems like. And it feels like if he wants another, he can get to go another. But if he doesn't come back, I think he's satisfied.
Yeah. I mean, and I think like there was something similar that kind of floated around where like with AJ Styles, he's like, he is technically retired, but he also didn't rule out the possibility of like wrestling again, just maybe not regularly. It might be like a one-time thing or something like that. And it's possible that we'll get that with Brock, but I mean, it's Minneapolis and kind of the way that he kind of did what he did sort of makes me think like he won't come back for like a big program thing. He might do a one-off, but I wouldn't be surprised either if he was like done.
Well, AJ had a big caveat on his as well. It was, look, you never say never because stuff has happened. We all acknowledge it. But his big thing in terms of that was if he comes back, he's coming back probably with his kids. That's it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's AJ coming back on a, you know, a Saudi run like Sean did. And I think Sean even kind of comes back and goes, that was the wrong choice. But AJ has basically said, like, his kids are involved. And if something ever presented where it could be, like, him and his oldest tag-teamed for a match, you know, for old time's sake and to help his son get over, then sure, he'll pop in the ring one more time. Why not?
Yeah.
Also, on night one, we saw Brie get injured in the six-woman tag, but also the Bella Twins turn on Paige. What do you think, Kish?
I mean, it's not super surprising. It kind of, like, there was a very natural setup there with Nikki getting injured earlier and bringing Paige in. And, you know, Paige being the one that, like, lost.
Yeah. It's also unfortunate timing that she gets hurt. They could have just subbed, you know, Paige back in there for Brie being injured, but they went with the heel turn instead.
Look.
Yeah.
If it's not one Bella, it's the other, okay? That's what we're getting out of this, is if Nikki gets hurt, then Brie's okay. As soon as Nikki comes back, it's Brie's turn to take time off.
Right?
I mean, we're talking the ultimate twin magic here.
Yeah.
Really?
So I mean, didn't like, roll under the ring to do it.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. I mean, I'm not surprised it happened. And I mean, it's a nice way to kind of like roll them away from the title picture and Fatal Influence for the time being. They can kind of go into a little thing with each other, which is nice because they're more veterans and they're with them feuding with each other. It sort of isn't taking away from like this up and coming women's division and everything that we've seen so far.
Yeah.
So yeah. And I mean, they're obviously good friends and they're going to be able to work off each other and they'll put on a pretty good program. So, I mean, I'm okay with it. Hopefully the injury to Brie isn't as severe as they're saying it might be, and they can kind of do everything how they want to do it and not have an injured Brie kind of like there on the sidelines, so to speak.
We were talking about last night, maybe a dislocated shoulder for Brie, because it was just hanging from the side last night.
Yeah.
Which was unfortunate.
I mean, it's 100% possible. I mean, hopefully it's not dislocated bad enough that she requires surgery and maybe just some rehab. I know at least at that route, you can come back from it a little bit quicker as someone who has dislocated their shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So
same.
it's possible she won't be out, like, you know, let's hope for just like a minor dislocation and she can kind of just rehab it and kind of like stay in the program and kind of get what they want out of it without it being too much of a hindrance.
The one benefit I will say for Brie, she was never really an upper body wrestler.
Yeah, that's true.
There's moves or such that you'll still have to, you know, hold opponents' weight and do things. But a lot of her offense is kick-based, whether it's the yes kicks or that kick onto the ropes that she does with others. So if need be, she may be able to come back a little bit sooner and just limit some of the stuff that she does in the ring if you need to advance the storyline a bit more. But by all means, they'll have to be cautious and they want to make sure that they put on the best that they can. So she will have to rehab at least a decent amount for this.
Yeah.
We also saw the in-ring return of Nick Aldis last night at SummerSlam.
So good.
Yeah. It was super nice that he got a match and not just like having him stay as a manager. It was nice that they gave that to him.
I like that they did. They addressed the issue very quickly, too, on the post-show of, I'm tearing up your letter of resignation. You're staying right where you are in charge of SmackDown. Because there was that whole, like, you know, is he going to be a full-time wrestler now? What's going on? And it's like, nope, we're putting this to bed. He's still in charge of SmackDown. Now, every so often, if someone challenges him, is he going to come back? He could. But for, and I mean, we saw that tonight.
Yep.
He flexed his muscle in the SmackDown. But it just shows that, like, you have a special attraction because Pat McAfee is gone, because other things have happened. If you need to do a special thing, you got Nick there, and Nick has shown he's capable.
Yeah.
But it was good to see him
and,
in the ring.
The match overall was, like, he didn't have a whole lot of ring rust from what I saw, considering he hasn't wrestled an official match in, what was it, 3 years or something like that?
5 years, I think. 3-5 years, something like that. It's been a minute.
Yeah.
They had, I think, the best pure wrestling match on the show last night.
Yeah, which, I mean, being that it's Nick Aldis and Gunther, it's not surprising that they went that route.
Close second was Gable and Penta, though. They had a really good wrestling match.
Last night. Last.
I'm talking full weekend.
I know.
Between the two of them, those were the real good ones.
Yeah, we'll get to that one in a bit. The Bloodline took a loss last night, Keish.
Yep. That was surprising.
But Solo. Solo loves being a babyface.
Boy, does he ever.
He gets to be goofy as shit, and he's going to be like, let's go with it, boys.
Yeah, he is very much enjoying what he's able to do with his character right now, and it's awesome.
Well, and it's such a juxtaposition from when he first came in. Silent enforcer, no personality whatsoever, just the spike.
Yeah.
And we saw a little bit of it come out when they did Money in the Bank. When he was there with Penta, Andrade, and shit. Who was the third? Oh, LA Knight. And he was doing their taunts to try and be like, hey, you can go easy on me, right? And then they proceeded to beat the high holy hell out of him. But it's those little moments that really kind of, you now start to see, like, yeah, Solo does have his own personality. And he's not just the third Uso brother. Because it would be really easy for them just to fall back on that, you know, family pedigree and all of that. And I talked last night, like, he was just the absolute little shit of a little brother to his big brothers in that match.
Oh, 100%.
But it's like, it's one of those moments where, again, I never thought I'd say this, but it's like, I'm actually kind of entertained by Solo Sikoa right now. And, like, what is he going to do next? I don't need him to be full comedy. I don't need him to be all of that. But, you know, if he wants to be a cocky shit and be a face, I'm kind of here for that.
Liv Morgan had a successful title defense. How about that?
Yeah, and there was not nearly as much interference as I thought there would be, which was kind of nice. I'm sure Lindsay was a little bit relieved of that.
A little bit. She's still annoyed by the interferences, but you know, at least it didn't play a part in the finish.
Yeah, and they, you know, they gave Liv a clean win. And it was that quick little sequence for her to get that pin was real nice. It kind of showed that, like, just because she hit her finisher, she was still kind of, like, smart to, you know, Io's sort of game. Like, she learned some stuff from their match, their last match for Queen of the Ring. So it was a nice, I don't know, I wouldn't call it a callback, but, like, showing Liv's sort of, like, ability, like, she's not the world champion just because she has help.
Indeed. And then CM Punk retained his title, but a Viper's back.
That'll be fun.
Are you happy to see Randy back, Casey?
I'm not happy. It'll be interesting to see. Like, I like that they sort of brought him back as not good guy Randy Orton, I guess you want to call it. I mean, we'll see what happens, how he goes into it after, but...
Well, we kind of talked about that last night. Is there really a good guy or bad guy Randy Orton?
I mean, nowadays, not so much. He's kind of just like Randy Orton, his little wink to the camera and all that other fun stuff.
That cheeky little moment where Randy's like, well, I'm gonna hit the move and be like, I'm back! Ding! And it popped the crowd.
Yeah,
and then now... CM Punk is still your champion. Cody Rhodes finally gets out of the title picture for now. One would hope, but just let him do something different.
I was just about to say, hopefully that whole thing pulls Cody away from the title picture for a little while.
I'm cool a bit.
Well, and I mean, we do have a new number one contender.
Which we'll get into.
Side.
Well, yeah, that is the SmackDown.
Oh, I'm so used to Punk on Raw. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's a SmackDown title. Okay.
Damn it.
I got, for half a second, you had me second guessing myself.
And speaking of that, the show opened, which was surprising because I thought the Intercontinental title was going to open, but with what they did, it made more sense. It was Sami Zayn versus Finn Balor to open the show for the number one contendership for the undisputed WWE Championship. But oh no!
There's more.
There is in fact more as the general manager returns. Nick Aldis says, well, he's back to use his power. And using his power, he's adding another man to this match. The surprising Gunther. The man who he just went to war with the night before. They had a little nod, a little bit of respect there. And Gunther is now added to the number one contenders match for the WWE Championship. But Brent, there was more.
Sammy had a conniption fit.
Yeah.
Playing up to that. And Finn just looked like, God damn it. Like, Finn didn't really have a reaction except just, this is gonna hurt. Sammy's losing his absolute mind. And then Nick jumps in and goes, wait, wait, wait. So adding Gunther to the match makes sense because it's kind of like, I'm not showing bias here. I'm putting in the person that I just fought. He has a claim to be able to go after the title. I'm giving him this opportunity. You're in the match.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, Gunther gave that head nod, and it's like, all right. But wait, as the New Day did at WrestleMania, there's still more.
The returning.
We got one more name announced, and Rock, go for it.
The returning Kevin freaking Owens.
And I popped so hard at my chair.
Oh yeah, it was awesome.
The second that music hit, I was just like, he's back. And the best part was, the immediate camera shot went right to Sammy, and you saw everything flash before his eyes of,
yeah,
oh, God damn it, not him. It's great that his friend is there, but now he has to go through him as well.
Yeah.
And the pop in Minnesota.
And, like, you could see, like, all the emotions going through his face, even though he barely... Like, there was, like, no, like, ticks or anything. But you could see just by the look in his face, you could see him going through all of those motions of one more person. Oh, my God. Oh, wait, it's Kevin. Oh, I'm so glad he's back, but now I have to fight him. And you could just, like, see everything just, like, flashing through his brain and being just everything that went through his head. And then them, like, later in the match when they finally faced off, and it was just like they stood there, they hugged, and they're like, all right, that's done, it's time for business.
I loved that moment where it's like, it's their entire relationship culminated in 15 seconds. So they're standing there in opposition, and then they hug, and they kind of like grab each other for a second, like, it's great to see you, you're gonna die, and just immediately start beating the hell out of each other. It's, these two are forever on a path that is going to converge and then go apart and then come back together again. You know, there's that intertwiningness, that helix kind of configuration of what's going to happen with them. And it's also fitting because the last match Kevin was in was with Sammy, the street fight or the no holds bar, whatever it was officially called.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was great to see Kevin as part of it. Minneapolis went absolutely insane. Their little decibel meter topped out, I think. And it
yeah,
was
they went
good,
nuts for him.
And it was good that they had the moment where Kevin took charge to start, because it's like, in his return, you want that moment where you just have the bull in the china shop just going through everybody.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens, number one contender? Opportunities just sort of...
Him and CM Punk.
Opportunities just fall out of the sky. I guess he's number one contender.
Oh God. I just thought of the match that him and Punk can have, and they're gonna beat the hell out of each other.
Yep.
CM Punk is the kind of guy that will go, sure, give me a muscle buster. And Owens will go, okay. You wanna take the package pile driver too? Sure. Just give me an ice bath afterwards. Okay. But those two are going to go at it, and you get to have this further passage into darkness for Sammy of everything is against him. And not in the joking conspiratorial way that he did with, like, Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah.
But more like, he might have a little bit of a claim there of, like, I was supposed to have a one-on-one shot, and Nick Aldis came out of nowhere and included not one, but two people, including the guy who has tried to legitimately kill me at one point. What the hell?
Yeah, that should be fun. When they do battle, probably at Saturday Night. I would say Saturday Night's main event, but that doesn't seem like the proper stage for it. But
Money in the Bank?
That's October. Can you wait 2 months? I mean, you could wait 2 months, but I think they got to get to it sooner, one would think. But we shall see when they do battle at some point. But we also have a brand new United States champion in Baron Corbin.
Can I just say one thing really quick? Not related to the match at all. It is the most awkward thing in the world to see Baron Corbin holding Trick Williams' version of the U.S. title.
It is.
A fuzzy one.
There's nothing more awkward than tall, bald Baron Corbin holding a skinned Muppet version of the U.S. title on his shoulder.
Yeah.
It is very awkward. I saw it in the post-match interview, and it was just like, yep. Yeah, you couldn't have pulled out the other U.S. title for that moment or have him talk about, like, I can't wait to get this thing redone.
Like him, like, sitting there as he's talking, slowly, like, pulling the bits of fur off of it.
Yeah, trying to just pull it off or, like...
Somebody get me some scissors.
Getting it, yeah. Just, like, I'm putting some shine back on this title, damn it.
And that's basically his what his promo was.
Like, a bald head.
He cut a promo basically saying he's going to restore the belt to what it should be.
There you go.
Well, the match was fine.
Yeah, it was a good match.
The match was fine. You had the safest celebrity table bump I think I've seen.
Ever.
and he kind of missed the table.
Yeah, his, like, butt and legs sort of hit it.
Yeah, but Yachty did what he was supposed to.
Yep.
And now the trick can possibly go on to other things.
It's like Money in the Bank, which would be good for him.
He would not be a bad person to keep in mind for that. I think with this year... We've had Money in the Bank before where there is the clear number one guy for it. And I know a lot of people are afraid that someone is going to get it. We talked about it last night. That person does not need Money in the Bank. They're already made. They already have a title shot lined up. They don't need that extra bit of something. But there are a couple of guys that are just shy of that main event picture, I would say, that could really get a benefit from holding that briefcase. And going into this year, that's not bad that you have like three or four people that they go, we have our choice, let's see who we go with.
Which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. It's so... always good when you have possibility, and it's always good when you have storyline options to go with. Because if you go with Trick, he's cocky enough, and he's also that in-betweener role where he can go after a heel or face champion, and it's not a problem. If you want to bring someone back into the main event picture, you could have a certain dog.
So, Matt, let's think about it. Seth Rollins could go in Money in the Bank. Cody could go with Money in the Bank. You put a Trick Williams, you put a Bron Breakker in there.
Mm-hmm.
You name...
Put a Jacob Fatu in there, maybe?
You put a Jacob Fatu. You have all the different choices. A Finn, a Gunther, someone like that could go in there.
You could put in Mr. 3-Point as well.
Yeah. But there's enough legitimate challengers you could put, contenders you could put in there. Where it could be the most star-studded Money in the Bank match, where anyone has a legitimate chance to win.
And that, just like the Royal Rumble, if you have multiple people that could win and you put them in a certain situation, it drives the fans crazy because now who do you root for? And the second anytime someone gets close, you're like, this could be it. This could be the end. This could be... Nope. Okay, they pulled it, or they didn't pull it down. All right, let's gear up for the next. Whereas I think with, like, the women's title, there was a very clear favorite who they wanted to win, and you could hear it anytime they got involved.
But one person who will not be in the women's Money in the Bank, Chelsea Green.
Fantastic.
I am so happy that the fans, the second her music hit, that was the person they wanted to win. Don't get me wrong. Tiffy got a great ovation. Charlotte was kind of mixed, but still had more cheers, I would say, this time, which is nice to see. They're getting her over.
Well, and I think that has a lot to do with just, like, I think she's coming across as more, like, genuine Charlotte Flair than...
the queen.
what she used to be. And I kind of touched on that, but, like, I think they're just kind of... she's now being more of herself and less Ric Flair's daughter, and I think it's helping.
I think giving her some of those personal stories, like the stories with her gear, and putting her up against someone like Jade is helping those things along. Also, pairing her with Alexa helps, because Alexa is taking some of that jadedness, no pun intended, off of Charlotte, and you get those moments where, like, they're kind of, like, you know, friend bumping into each other, and they have those moments during the matches where it's like, you can tell she's actually having fun, as opposed to, I'm here to work and show I'm the best in this ring. It's more, I get to go out, put on a show for 15 minutes, and then I get to go back and have fun. Let's do it.
But there was a great setup. You had the Jade's baddies roll in, and the fans were like, boo this, boo that. They were so upset they stopped Chelsea from getting up that ladder. She's trapped on that ladder. And then the two ladders are in the ring. Or was it two? It was three. All five women are up. Four of the women are up on those ladders. Everyone gets Chelsea knocked off.
Dead upside
she's
down.
She's playing dead. One ladder gets knocked over. The other, then the girls fall off the other one. And then the rumble in the crowd. You heard it. They saw her. And then the roar of when she gets up and climbs that ladder was fantastic, and she pulls down the belt.
She did her own taker sit-up on the ladder.
Yeah.
Although, I will say, I really appreciate also the callback to Money in the Bank from 2 years ago, when you had Tiffany climbing the ladder, and Chelsea was standing there, and she did the look up at Tiffany, and Tiffany realized in that moment of just, oh no. No, this is payback, isn't it? And tips it over for her to do the swanton.
Although you did see her be like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, that's the best thing. It's like, they're friends, and Chelsea's realizing, like, I have to do this. Like, you're about to grab this. We're all going for it. I'm sorry, but you would do the same thing, and you have.
Yeah, 100%.
And the one thing I think that can come from this, if they play it right, is if you really do want to keep Tiffany face, you have her meet Chelsea backstage on, like, SmackDown. And Chelsea is kind of sitting there like, hey. And Tiffany's like, I saw, you know, hey, what you did on that ladder. I totally get it. We're cool. Like, it was every woman for herself. You had to get the title. We get to be champs together. Let's go with that. And I think that can be something. Or you can set the seeds of, like Tiffany says, oh, that's, you know, hey, it's great. You know, you totally are fine. And then you get that moment where eventually it's just like, I'm not fine. Like, I wanted that in you. But it all depends where they want to go with it.
Yeah.
But congrats to Chelsea Green getting her roses and paying off what everyone in management is saying of, if you give her something, she'll make gold out of it. And it's good to see that they decided in this moment, sure, let's make her a world champion. Is it an interim? Yeah. But she still gets to fight Rhea for it. Yeah, she's still a world champion.
Mm-hmm.
Danhausen, though, has his human monies for himself.
God damn it, Lindsay, you freaking mole. We got almost exactly the spot she called. The only thing we were missing was a trench coat. We got three Danhausen stacked on top of one another. Or mini housing. And we had a Torito housing.
That was fun. I liked it. I liked
good.
That they like that people know that it was Torito.
It was one of those things, like, there are, like, the three normal ones, and then there was one with a mask, and you were like, wait a minute. And the second you saw him move, you were like, I've seen this before. Yeah. I know this.
I'm like, that is that? And then they said it, I'm like, oh, it totally is.
And they did it well. We knew this wasn't going to be a five-star classic. This match was for a very distinct purpose, and everyone played their part. Plus, JD McDonagh looked like an asshole for beating up the Minnehausens.
Of course. I'll bet he had fun, though.
Oh, you know he was like, he talked to them before the match, like, I'm going to throw some mustard on this body slam. Is that cool? Can you take it? Yep. Yeah. Cool. Let's run with it.
Oh, man. He smashed some guys.
Yeah, that body slam was a, I'm not, you know, not just putting you down, I am throwing you down.
Yeah.
There was some bounce on that landing. But we got the run-ins. We got JD McDonagh. We had Joe Hendry. The one tiny thing I would have loved, like, JD McDonagh's beating up Danhausen, Dominic's on the outside, and you have Danhausen yell the name. Like, or he tries to say it, and McDonagh, like, hits him, and then he calls it out, and that's when the music hits. I would have loved to have that kind of call, especially in a match like this. You play into, like, you actually say his name, and he'll come running.
Yeah.
But also, kudos to WWE for actually throwing legit money in there. I understand it was a couple of ones, but still, made it look better than just the Danhausen monies. But overall, an entertaining match. It did what it was supposed to. It filled the time, and Danhausen still gets over. Plus, the curse is a legit thing, which is really fun to see here.
It is. Chad Gable, however, finally becomes the Intercontinental Champion.
I wasn't sure if the crowd was going to be there for him in Minneapolis. I understand he's from there. I understand that he's had the redemption arc, but it's still a little bit of Chad Gable, so I didn't quite know how the fans would go. But they showed up for him.
They did. Because the buzz from Mask versus Mask is wearing off a little bit, so it was like you had a hope he had the crowd, and he had it.
I think it aligned perfectly with the fact, yes, it's Minnesota, it's Gable. Like you said, there's enough time to where, like, he needed to start kind of carrying himself a bit, and I'm hoping the fact of he won the IC title, and they can do something to develop his personality a little more, to make it carry through so that wherever he goes, he can get a good it doesn't need to be blow the roof off the house kind of reaction, but more so people are interested to see what's going to happen, as opposed to, you know, yeah, Gable's a good wrestler, but this is my chance to get up and go get a hot dog.
So. Yeah, but you mentioned before that it was best wrestling match of the weekend, bell to bell.
Him and Penta came to work.
Yeah.
From Gable hitting those suplexes to Penta hitting the Mexican driver to, like, on the apron nonetheless, it was like they were out there to be like, look, I know the main event's coming next, but we want to set a bar. And they worked.
Yeah.
And they delivered.
They did. It's nice to see Chad get his first singles title. It's one of those things when they said that on commentary, I had to stop for a minute to be like, wait, I thought Gable held like a U.S. title or something before that. No, he never held anything aside from tag gold until this point. Okay.
Yeah.
Good way to give it that first time.
I like to see Gable get bet to have more time instead of giving time to Human Monies on a pole. I get that, but Human Monies on the pole sells, Trey.
And you got to kind of change up the style of wrestling matches. Like, there are some people who, like yourself, Trey, could have used that Human Monies on a pole time to go rest your butt somewhere, go to the washroom, get a drink, whereas other people would have done that for other matches. So, like, you got to have a little bit of variety to your shows when they're this long.
Yeah,
personal opinion, obviously.
I mean, to be fair, they did get double the time of Human Monies on a pole match, and it was right up there with the women's ladder match in terms of time. It wasn't ever going to be to the level of Roman and Seth.
No. And I mean, I don't think the Human Monies match overstayed its welcome either. Like, it was the right length.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
But hopefully, as we were talking about, Chad can ride this momentum going forward because, and it keeps the crowd now that he's hit. Because we saw with Cody, it's like, we got the interesting story. He finished it. And then his run was like, all right, he's still looking for his next story. Hopefully, Chad has a good ride with the Intercontinental Championship. They kind of feature attraction it on Raw. going for it, and he gets 10, 15 minutes every week or every other week to have a really good wrestling match with someone, I think that's the best hope you can get for Gable.
Yeah. I think it matters who he's going to be put with. Like, I know some people aren't a fan of this person, but I think there could be a kind of storyline with him and Ethan.
Cause that could be really good.
That has been hanging around that IC title. Ethan works fairly well. And I think cocky Ethan Page going up against Chad Gable, and especially a Chad Gable that's been humbled, he can look at Ethan and be like, I was everything you are right now, and it did nothing for me. And Ethan can, of course, play off of Chad and just be like, you know, you, what are you? Like, I can take this title and run with it. You're a flavor of the month. You'll drop this thing soon. And I think they could have a good kind of storyline between them play out, if you want to do that. Or, you know, you put him with Javon, because he can work a faster style match. There's options to run that mid-card title, and it's just a matter of, can you keep it interesting?
But he did get the big family moment tonight.
Yeah, although, as I said, it just seems like every time Chad has a moment in the ring with his family, he's always bleeding.
He has a nice gash on the side of his face. He's on the post show right now. There's a nice gash on the side of his face.
And it's not anything that they really, like, there was nothing deliberate about it. It's just, it happened. But it's like, yeah, the two times his family has come in the ring recently, blood has literally been involved.
Yeah, it was cool to see this kid was in the same gear as him. That was cool.
I loved when they were in Mexico and the kid was wearing the mask.
Yeah.
But I also like the fact that the whole thing about Chad Gable now is just he's being real. It's not the American or the Alpha Academy where it's like things are turned up and he's cartoonish heel. It's, you know, my name's Chad Gable. I was born and raised in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Not to dox yourself, but they announce it anyway. But it just seems like we're getting this is who I am. This is what I'm putting out there now. So
Chad Gable gets to tell his story as Intercontinental Champion, and tonight we close the book on the Shield once and finally for all, as Roman Reigns is still the world's heavyweight champion.
Really liked this match, especially because we got everything that was good about Seth and Roman's encounters in the past, like the hard hitting, the callbacks, and all of that. And I would say we didn't get the bad things with Roman and Seth in terms of the interference. And they set us up at one point for it.
Couple times.
When the ref went down, I think collectively the entire audience went, oh no. Like,
you could see it.
Everyone gets up and looks around, but the thing is, with the two of them, you're like, are we getting the bloodline? Are we getting someone for Seth? Are we getting someone to screw Seth? What's going on? But the match just continued, and I think everyone went, oh, wait, we're just getting them. Okay, let's go.
And that's the way it needed to be, because it needed to be their story told. You didn't need bloodline. You didn't need interference from anybody else. They had to settle their score once and for all. Rollins coming out with the Shield music to start was a nice touch.
You goddamn troll.
He wore the mask
and there was the video of someone in the center in the gear.
Uh-huh.
You were like, oh, you're gonna come out like you did at Rumble, you dick. And then it paused for a second, the music really hit, and then he's out, and of course his god-awful outfit. Oh, they're doing the skull claps. Or the skull clap. Good job. Okay. Good job, Minnesota. But yeah, Seth comes out in his gear. I like that they explained it to the ring of what it kind of meant. You're like, okay.
It's his rebirth.
It was the rebirth, but he still had the Shield style face mask.
And a vest.
And the vest. Yeah, well, I don't think it was the vest. I think it was just clasps to keep the gear fastened.
No, he had a
vest.
It was vest.
After.
Yeah, he had it in the ring at the start. It was what he was handing. So when he was handing, he started the match off by handing him the vest. You want this for old time's sake?
Oh, that's right. That's right. Shit.
Yeah.
My bad.
It happens.
But yeah, it was good to see that, to get the cockiness of Seth. There's one problem I had with the match, personally.
Yeah?
Rock, what are my two most hated words in the wrestling lingo?
Oh, sorry. This question.
Yep, and they called it out on commentary. Like, oh, they're gonna this referee is gonna let him go at it, and it's like, fuck, that means we're gonna spend 10 minutes in the crowd.
And they did because, the 9.99999 into the for the 10 count getting back into the ring.
That's the thing is later you had them doing the count, and they called out like, oh, it's good that they stopped the count, and I was like, yes, but then you just spent a quarter of the match outside. Going all throughout the fucking arena.
Yeah.
And putting each other through tables. Like, if you're gonna do that, you make it like a no-hold-barred style stip.
Right, make it the street fight. But then you take away from the, but then you took away from the drama with the ref. So it's a catch-22. It's like, what do you do?
I get that. It's just, if I'm gonna call it out for other things, I have to call it out here, and it's just a problem of you're allowing everything that normally happens to go out the window. And it's just kind of like, I understand for story, willing suspension of disbelief. It's just hard in that moment to go, so for every other card on the match, you have to get back by the 10 count. But for these two, fuck it.
I did like, though, the shield bomb into the table, and then Rollins doing his own into the table. I love the turnbuckle bombs.
Yep. Yeah, the dueling turnbuckle bombs. That was good to see.
That was good. And this match had all the trash talking in the ring that you could ever possibly have between two people, cutting promos on each other mid-match.
You're always number two. You're always going to be number two. Get it through your head.
It's always been us. It's always us.
Yeah. You're never going to beat me, Roman. I'm always going to win. It's one of those things where that helps having the mic pick up the talk. And in the audience, you lose it a little bit because you can't hear what's being said, but you can tell what's kind of being said when that happens. And I think part of that is what helped get Roman over as a heel during the COVID era was the fact that they made that part of his character where he's going to trash talk you in the ring. And yeah. Gunther does it a little bit too, where you'll see him, like, he puts on the sleeper and you can tell that he's talking trash while he's doing it.
Yeah. My favorite part was there was, it was Michael Cole in commentary, the wacky line. He had to go back to calling it the Ambrose wacky line. It's like, yeah. Oh my God, Cole, we could just call it the clothesline. You don't have to call it the wacky line. No one cares.
The rebound clothesline.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we did get Dean Ambrose at SummerSlam like everyone wanted, just not the actual person. We got full-out Dean Ambrose in the match through his moves.
Reliant gifted a tier 1 subscription to Thraydorgle.
Thanks, Sarah, for the gifted sub.
God damn it, I love that that's the gifted sound.
The remote.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's so great.
But they pay tribute to Dean Ambrose in this match. It was like he died or something. But no, I was like, I'm going to do the DDT. No, I'm going to do the DDT.
Yeah. Well,
and I think in this particular moment, with the story that they're telling and the way that they are literally putting dirt on the grave of this storyline, it makes sense to do that callback.
Yes.
Because everyone would say, like, oh, where's Dean? We need Dean involved with this. You got it. It's just, it wasn't Moxley, but he was involved. You get that full moment of, we got the entire Shield involved.
Yes. Because wasn't Mox the one who always wore the wore the mask?
No, Moxley was always without. Moxley was always barefaced. It was Seth.
I thought Mox did for some points too, but
no. Either way, the only mask Moxley usually wore was the gas mask when he was in.
Got it.
But yeah, we got Roman with the win, definitively without interference. He finally put down Seth, and then I liked the moment where they do the fist bump in the ring. They put the mask there for the third member, and they both kind of acknowledge the fact of like, all right, this shit's done.
Yeah.
Because we each got wins. Oh yeah. Okay. There we go. He did have a mask at some point.
He did. He did wear it. There's a bunch of pictures with him wearing the mask.
Okay. But I thought Seth was usually the one that came to the ring with it. Cause I thought he did the big roll with it on typically.
He did as well, but it was also a Moxley thing.
Yeah. But I also like the fact of moving forward, they could begrudgingly put differences aside if needed after what's happened here. Because leading up to this, it's always been, I'm not teaming with you, I hate you. Like, you've done all this shit, and, you know, Seth, you broke up the Shield, and, well, Roman, you've done horrible things also, and I'm calling you out on it. Now, if ever things do happen, you can have that, like, bygones be bygones, and it's like, look, for one night, we're gonna just deal with this shit, because we know we've been in the muck with one another. Let's beat ass, you know, let's beat the shit out of someone because they're a dual problem. Let's go. Before this match, I don't think you get that because there was so much bad blood. But now I think it's kind of like, we've kind of buried the hatchet. I don't want to, but we can.
Yeah, like break glass in case of emergency.
Exactly. And it's not like, we're going to reform the Shield. It's just, it's Sammy and Kevin over again, where it's like, if they need to, they look at each other and go, I mean, we could fight, or we could fight them. What do you want to do? And it's like, based on the situation, they go, God damn it, all right, let's go.
They do the fist bump to end the show. Everyone is like, here we go, it's over. We can move on.
And by the way, fans, this is the only opportunity we're going to see Dean Ambrose in the WWE, aside from maybe a Hall of Fame induction.
If that ever happens.
I think eventually they'll put the three in, and he may just show up for that, but I don't think he's ever coming back full.
Mm-mm. He doesn't prefer their style anymore?
No.
Go ahead.
I think if he was going to, I think it would be under a Hunter regime, because it's that idea of, like, maybe he'd get a little bit of freedom, but at the same time, from what all we've seen, I don't think he necessarily wants to wrestle that style.
Congrats to Chelsea Green for winning another championship tonight. She won the ESPN Moment of the Night.
Hey, she got the belt!
She indeed get the belt. All right, so we come to the point of the program. Brent, did the streak live on? Were they still 6-0? Were they undefeated for the rest of the night?
They went. So, for we'll do the entirety.
Yes.
For pickums for WrestleMania.
Hold on. Hold on. You should when we get to it, mention what happened last night to Casey about it.
So, Casey.
Ooh, what happened last night?
So, we went about and we were doing pickums.
Yep.
And Rock wanted, or they were like, all right, we're going to end the show. And I said, wait, let me do some accounting here. And we found out that one of our pickers was undefeated for night one.
Oh, wow.
Listen to what he said.
Notice I said one of our pickers. I didn't say one of our people.
Oh, no.
The Wheel was 6-0 for night one.
Oh, no.
The Wheel, who is involved in our WTR fantasy as well.
Oh, no.
Which Rock will also touch on, I believe, right?
We are going to touch on that in a minute, yes.
All right, so the Wheel went 6-0 last night, and we were like, well, do they Do they make the run in night two? The answer is a resounding, oh no. Oh no. So, our overall results, sitting in last place, 11th, going 4-7, because I did not count the number one contenders match because two people got added, and it's just a giant cluster of trying to.
And there was one there was one person who tried to sneakily say they wanted somebody else. It happened. Yeah, it's not going
to
come up.
There was one person who said, can I change my pick? I totally. Hey, to be fair, the match hadn't started yet, but it wouldn't have been fair for everyone else involved to, like, frantically try and get a pick in for that. So I threw out that match. So no wins, no losses on that, just it was there. But the eight ball went 4-7 in last place. The other inanimate object.
Well, that's good.
Tied for
eighth. I did better than at least one.
Tied for eighth, going 5-6. So under 500, we have Subway, Rob, and Sarah.
All right.
All alone in seventh place, going 7-4, is the wheel.
It didn't have a good night.
So it went 1-4 on day two.
What place was Sarah again?
Eighth. She tied for eighth.
There you go.
So just below the wheel. Tied for fourth place, going 8-3, was 2/3 of WTR Sunday night. Tim and Casey.
Yay.
And our listener, Tommy C. Which means job, Tommy. The hosts of Rack Extra WrestleMania Night 1 all tied for first place. Myself, Lindsay, and Rock, we all went 9-2.
Nice.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Lindsay went perfect for day 2. She missed the first two matches of day one, so she went back and sweep. Rock missed one each day. I missed one each day as well.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
No. But now, Rock, I'm going to hand the podium over to you because you have some housekeeping.
We do have some housekeeping. We had a really close run for second and third. It was determined by 1 point.
Because the main event didn't factor in at that point.
No, the main event factored for fourth and fifth.
Because someone had both people in the main event.
Someone had both people in the main event. Yeah. That's
I noticed that when I was going through, because you had talked to me before about, like, oh, fantasy's close. And I was like, let me see it. I went, oh, someone's got both people in the main event. And for something like SummerSlam, that's not good.
I mean, it. Yes and no, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But it played out really well. Alright, coming up, we're in dead last, losing by almost 200 points to first place. With 202. Tim, dead last.
What? You lost by almost an entire team's worth of points.
Yeah, he lost by two, because first place was at 401. So that did not end well for Tim. I mean, his team also took a hit when he had Ilya Dragunov and AJ Lee. And also,
yes,
he earned
AJ
one.
Showed up.
He also earned 1 point this entire season for Bianca Belair.
Oh no!
For her pregnancy appearance.
So that
Casey had a full zero for someone at least.
Casey had a full zero for the entire season as well. Because he had...
You're welcome on that one, Casey. That was my part.
He was given Chris Jericho. He was given Chris Jericho.
Well, you know.
Look, there were rumors that he was going to be there.
Yeah.
So, coming in at fifth place with 264 points, The Wheel.
Oh, it was hanging up there for so long, too.
It was.
Good showing by The Wheel, though. It had a good team.
Yep. They did.
If Penta didn't lose... They would have been in fourth, because Lindsay came in fourth with 278.
There was our main event. So, the three of us then.
It is down to the three of us.
I feel like that scene from The Office where they're doing the standoff, the fake guns. We're all drawn on each other.
Third place, 333. Second place, 334.
First place, you said 401.
First place was 401. Congrats, Casey. You are a champion. Someone's finally taken me down after all of these many seasons. At 401 points.
And he never won another one ever again.
You finished second, Rock.
I did by 1 point.
God damn it! Damn it!
By 1 point?
Yeah. I had 334, he had 333. You blew us away.
Oba getting the win.
I was scared for.
What played to you?
I was scared there for a bit because, like, I had the lead and then you took the lead, and I was like, oh, there we go again.
What played the biggest factor for you, Casey? Because if it wasn't for this person, you would have ended this week in a negative. You had Gunther.
Yeah, Gunther had two appearances and a win. Yet.
And Gunther and Casey had the 5X on Gunther.
Oh, that's right. We had that special multiplier.
So Gunther carried your team.
Yeah.
The Ring General.
Oh, I mean, that's not surprising just based on his stats and his run on the main roster.
Yeah.
What was the moment that I lost it?
What, tonight?
Yeah, what put the 1 point over?
You just didn't get enough points. I lost points this week. I lost 12. You had 49. So you made up the gap.
Yeah, Dominic cost me today.
Trick almost cost me second place.
Yeah. I was going to say, Oba got me a win, Jacob lost, Blake was a no-show, Dark State's been just there, Javon's been okay. But today, the Judgment Day cost me. If Dom had won Money's on the Pole match, over. Fuck.
Judgment Day gave you 44 points this week.
Well, yeah, because Liv won the title, kept the title.
And Raquel won a title on Monday. Raquel
won.
Yeah. Yep. And there, so you got.
God damn it, really... JD! Why couldn't you win the fucking AAA Cruiserweight title? It wouldn't have counted, but still, it would have at least been a regular win.
Would have been a regular win, which means the fantasy draft is coming in a week or two. We're running back.
I know who I'm keeping. I'm calling it now. I know who I'm keeping.
Is his name Oba Femi?
It's the future. I'm just going to put it out there.
Yep.
Of all the people I have, Jacob Fatu, even though technically he's part of the bloodline now, so don't know where that goes. Now there is a bloodline, so that's going to have to be adjusted. Judgment Day not there, Nikki not there, Ricky, whatever. Yeah, Oba Femi is my clear number one. Just saying.
But that will do it for this edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're back tomorrow night for the Raw Post Show when Raw ends to talk all about it when the show ends. The Rack is back Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern to talk SummerSlam Night 2. Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, another edition of CB Radio. We'll be back next Sunday for another edition of WTR Sunday, Wrestle Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Tim's at Flames Forums. It's at WTR Sunday Night. Casey.
Yeah, I have socials. I don't use them, but they're there if you want to see what I used to be up to. You can find them at Kyle Driver.
Intern.
You can find me on a variety of social media, X/Twitter, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky, at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. You can also find me normally on CB Radio Saturday nights, fairly frequently doing the Intern's Corner, and sometimes pulling my hair out doing the Excalibur Challenge when AEW has a show. And oh god, there's going to be one at the end of this month. Son of a bitch.
Chad, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to Twitch.com/PrimeGaming, that's Twitch Prime, just Prime. Click the purple button to subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can use credit code Rockinsock in the Fortnite item shop with hashtag Epic Partner. Buy all the Spoodermans and Punishers and Wolverines and whatever is in the shop. We shall see you all week long, right here, along the airwaves of the Wild Talk
Radio Network. I like to roll and burn papers, and I know you all for work later, so I'm texting you to come through. Top floor, no neighbors, only thing missing is you. Put your feet up, paint my initials on your toes. You a diva, but for me you acting like a hoe. Awkwafina, I can see you dripping through your clothes. Need a re-up, one night stands are getting old. All about love, come near me, then you run away.
WildTalkRadio.com.